Here we go.
Who the hell are you, man?
Genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
We are the Knights!
Nerd!
Hold on to your butt.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Knights of Nerd 2 podcast. We are a podcast for all things nerd. My name is Chris. I'm here with
Sam
and Sean.
And on the Skype hotline, we have
Skype John.
So this week, sorry, I was expecting a better one than that.
I got nothing, man.
This week, what we're going to end up doing is some news, and then we're going to get right into a movie review. Ford versus Ferrari. A couple of us saw that. And then we're going to talk a little Mandalorian, because that's probably going to turn into a weekly thing. And then The Watchmen, because every week there's something to unfold and unpack and you know, see mirrors with. Sorry, it was a great episode this week.
Oh, yeah.
But first, we're going to... John's going to take away with news first. So he's got a few things. So go ahead.
All right. Well, first off, a really quick note from last week's episode where we talked about, you know, despite a great... Well, actually, the Disney Plus launch kind of wasn't that great, but despite the bountiful offerings of Disney Plus, one thing that was neglected is that all the Simpsons episodes were this weird widescreen format, which had been the case since FXX had, you know, had the syndication rights. But... we were not alone in our anger about this, and Disney has since said that they are going to be putting the regular 4:3 episodes, the regular, you know, square standard definition episodes, onto the service in early 2020. So hope is restored. The world is at ease again. I guess actually, so there's this like Simpsons World website where you can stream all these things, I guess. And apparently, they've had those episodes available like that for a while now. So, it was just kind of weird it wasn't on there. But they're going to correct the error, so kudos to them.
They're also putting in a continue watching button, which is going to be great. It's going to be great.
Oh, yeah, that's a little annoying, right?
Yeah, it definitely is. When you need that quick moment of, quick, let's put Frozen on, because I can't. I need sanity for a day.
Anything just for a little sanity. Well,
yeah, a continue watching button would be great.
Speaking of insanity, guys, I don't know if you know this, but there was a movie called Charlie's Angels that came out last week, and it did not do well.
No, it bombed, like horribly bombed.
Bad. Yep.
And I mean, I feel like just on the internet, like. I feel like I'm not especially plugged into the... Well, let me take that back. I feel like I'm a little bit plugged into the movie scene, but, like, I didn't even see anything mentioned that this was a thing until, like, I saw a trailer for it before some movie, like, a couple months ago.
Yeah, it kind of flew under the radar.
Yeah.
Which you would think for what was at one time... I mean, granted, they only made really, what, two movies?
Yeah.
But
Full Throttle.
I mean, they put some
the
like muscle behind those movies, like what, 15 years ago or whatever, with Cameron Diaz and Drew Barrymore and Lucy Liu.
Yeah, Bill Murray, Bernie Mac.
Yeah,
Demi Moore was in the second one. I mean, there were names attached to it, so I mean, it was kind of like interesting that I mean Elizabeth Banks took over this one. She produced, directed, and I believe co-wrote.
She wrote, yeah.
And she's the one behind all the Pitch Perfect movies,
yes,
right?
Which I love. I love those movies. Do mean, not judge me. Nobody can judge me at all.
Anyway,
I love the Pitch Perfect.
But you're not alone in saying those are good. Although definitely, you know, well, I won't pass any judgment. But this movie, regardless of the quality, really bombed at the box office.
Yes.
And Sean, the director slash writer slash
producer.
She's even in it, right?
Co-star. Yeah, she's Bosley. Banks, she plays Bosley. Producer.
She had some comments, I guess?
Yeah, so basically her quote was, look, people have to buy tickets to this movie too. This movie has to make money. If this movie doesn't make money, it reinforces a stereotype in Hollywood that men don't go see women do action movies. Which, when I read that, immediately brought up two franchises that are built off of the backs of a female action hero. First is Alien, the Alien quadrilogy. Even Alien Covenant with, was it Naomi Rampage? She, like, took over for that, for Sigourney Weaver for that one. But, so, I looked up the number. So, the original quadrilogy, non-inflation whatnot, but it pulled in over $700 million for that quadrilogy, which I would say is pretty successful, seeing that at least one of those movies is crap.
Yeah.
Resurrection. Sure. Anyways,
the third one was not awful. We'll discuss that.
We can get into that later.
Nope, we will get into that later.
Okay. The other, I guess you would, saga or whatever, group of movies with a female-led action heroine. The Resident Evil franchise. Ooh,
love those movies.
They made, what, seven of them? But men don't go see those movies. It only made $1.245 billion.
Yeah, those movies did not make a lot of money, though.
What's the other one with Kate Beckinsale, too?
Oh, Underworld.
Underworld?
Yeah.
Like, I just went with, like, the two that came to mind. But, yeah, Underworld, that entire series. Like,
you guys are reading off all of my DVDs.
You're welcome.
And I'll, yeah. So, Chris, why didn't you go see this movie?
Shall I speak for everybody in this circumstance?
Yes, please.
Because we didn't need a third one within 20 years.
Not a third one, a reboot.
It's fine.
All right.
Does it matter?
So, no, it really doesn't.
I'm going to do a little counterpoint.
Nobody wanted this movie.
In that all those movies you mentioned weren't like flagship franchises. Like, they were smaller movie. They were like medium to small size action movies.
He does have a point.
No, I know.
And but they have I feel like she somewhere. Was talking more about like the big franchises.
Well,
but
okay,
counterpoint. Recently, we've had Wonder Woman and Captain Marvel, so it's kind of a bullshit argument.
Yeah. Not to mention Frozen, which I just talked about, directed
but
by
she,
a female.
She brought up Wonder Woman and Captain Marvel, saying that they don't count because they're men's movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't even understand what she's trying to say.
I don't either. Like,
I don't think she knows what she's trying to say.
I like Elizabeth Banks. Like, she's funny and she's very talented, but she needs to stop.
She should be in more commercials. That's the
like she's just digging herself into a hole.
And I think she hit the point where she wrote, directed, produced, and co-starred. So this is like one of her babies, you know, and it clearly didn't turn out well.
Right. And she's just literally zero of the blame.
Yeah. So I think
she's even like, oh, I'm still happy with it, regardless if it makes money or not. It's like, that's fine. You can say that. But don't like turn around and be like, it's all of the men's fault for not making money.
Yeah.
It's like, so
it's an IP that wasn't really that, it was like a good size, but it wasn't really that big.
Like, I don't remember the first two Charlie's Angels making a lot of money.
I don't like it. Well, I pulled up, and Box Office Mojo sucks right now. So.
Well, yeah, because they updated it and got rid of all the information. There's actually a...
If I had a nickel for every podcast that complains about Box Office Mojo.
Yeah,
man.
Everybody complains about it.
There is a campaign going on to basically bring back Box Office Mojo as a fan website. So if the fans will create their own, and it'll put all the actual information that you need on there.
Oh.
So... Let's hope that happens.
I hope so. I don't like not seeing the budget right there.
I know. It
so
sucks.
I'm glad we got the opinions of four white men
on
this. Really a marginalized community right now.
Do you want to take the counterpoint, Sam? Do you want to...
What, counter my own point?
Yeah.
Chris likes Pitch Perfect. There's your counterpoint.
I love Pitch Perfect. Don't judge me at all.
By the way, it's gonna really make us kind of look like assholes, though. We're like, oh, Charlie's Angels, who would ever watch that? And then we're gonna, like, pretty much, I'm guessing, be fawning over Ford versus Ferrari, which is literally just white guys.
Stay tuned.
But was Ford versus Ferrari a reboot of two other movies?
Of a TV show.
And a TV show. Sorry.
And a TV show that wasn't like, you know, it wasn't MASH. Like, you know, it's not like some...
I mean, Charlie's Angels is a big show.
Is MASH an Untouchable?
Yes.
What, to make it as a movie?
No, they just to redo it.
Yeah.
Is MASH fall into one of those Untouchable categories?
There's no reason to remake it. There's so many.
Well, you say that, so but much. Then we get, you know, our 17th Charlie's Angel movie.
And yeah, but Charlie's Angels, like, isn't, like, it's...
You know, there's another Beverly Hills.
It's a good show, but MASH is, like, beyond iconic.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
It's like, but it's like in 10 years, like, well, 10 years after The Simpsons gets canceled, do they reboot it? Like, reboot it? No.
Well, I don't know.
No, you don't.
They're starting to. There's a whole bunch of stuff that they're trying to reboot nowadays.
They shouldn't even be making The Simpsons now, let alone 10 years from now.
33 years later, they should have stopped at 22.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Well, moving. One other, I guess, maybe this is news or whatever. This is an advice segment, guys, because I know the three of you in the past, including this year, are big on the cons. And I'm not talking about the Knights of Nerditudes. I mean, like, the Comic Cons and such. Because I need some advice for you guys on how to go to a con, because your boy, this weekend, is going all the way to Secaucus, New Jersey, to go to Sopranos Con. Which I will report back, but I fully expect it to be at least a minor shit show.
I was wondering where you were going this weekend.
Okay, so Sopranos Con.
So, look, make sure you wear your black silk button down. With two open top buttons.
I'm going with a velour jumpsuit.
Okay, that works too. I hope you have your silver necklace.
Yeah. Ooh, I could bring my bling necklace.
Yes,
you could do that. Make sure you put on a couple class rings. High school because they don't go any further.
And then I think you're just about ready to go into New Jersey at that point.
I think you're about ready to hit New Jersey. Yeah.
Now let's talk about what to wear to the con.
But what about the con experience? I mean, I think we got people. There's some exhibits. I think there's some people signing some stuff.
So
I think it's
the panel discussions.
What's the game? You're going to be on such a smaller scale than what?
Yeah,
we typically would attend
because yours
I don't
is.
Know. Does yours have a horse? I don't know.
All right. Well, here's just a typical con advice. Please shower.
Oh, beforehand. Oh my God! Yeah. Yes, bring some wipes before. Yes. You know,
if you know you're probably going to sweat a lot. I mean, it's okay to bring like an aerosol can or no. That's probably going to be turned away.
No, just bring some deodorant sticks.
Yeah, I would say just something if you feel it, because it can get warm in there.
Yeah, maybe a change of undershirt, underpants, or something like that. Throw them in a backpack.
There's that. You walk around Comic-Con and like
sweating balls, man.
Well, I mean, you get stuck behind, like, that one kid who hasn't showered in 3 days.
Oh, those guys. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Really into, like, Naruto or whatever the fuck that is.
Yeah. As much as I would like to be like, oh, this is a different class of people, like, it's really not. No. It's just, like, maybe a different flavor, the same, like, variety.
Yeah. So, I mean, for the cons, I mean, it's rare that I go to them to... see, like, go one-on-one with a person. It's more or less like you go to the panels and stuff. That's kind of like the good stuff, because I mean, it's usually somebody interviewing somebody, and it's a lot of fun. But other than that, it's just kind of wandering around looking at like what people have for sale and stuff. Because, I mean...
Yeah, the vendors are where it's at.
Yeah, because you can find some good like art pieces and stuff like that, and even like people sell just like random toys and shit like that, memorabilia and whatnot.
And the cosplay.
And if there's one thing I like is like tacky bullshit, so
you go to the right place.
It could be, I might need to limit myself, like a guy, like a gambler going into a casino.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I walk in with how much did I walk in with? $300 in cash, and then that's all I had. Because cons are cash only.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Bring cash.
Yeah, cons are definitely cash only. I think one guy this year had credit.
Yeah, some of them do have the squares. But for the most part, it's just so much easier to pay in cash.
Yeah. And plus, you limit yourself, essentially.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you're like, I'm not using my debit card. Okay, I will take 200. Because I think I went with, like, 300. I was planning on only spending two, and I spent, I think, 150.
So yeah, I came out with 100 bucks too. I didn't spend,
which is good. I easily could have spent more.
Oh god, yes.
All right, so bring cash. Because I think the plan is, like, you know, go show up, take like maybe a quick like peruse, and then like
wander,
go to a panel discussion. Then walk around a little later. Then maybe catch another panel.
I was going to plan your panels.
Yeah.
Schedule everything around the panel.
Yes.
Okay.
Because then filter it in with everything else. Again, I can't imagine it's going to be huge comparatively. But stick with your panels. Get those down, and then do a couple laps. Yeah. But
you definitely, before you really buy anything,
definitely take a lap.
Yeah. Do some laps, because like, I mean, Chris and I buy those Pops characters, and like, there was one where, like, the first place we stopped, we were like, oh, everything's, like, 5, 10, 15, 20 bucks. And then we went to the next one. They had all the ones that we wanted. We're like, oh, and they're buy one, get one 50% off or whatever. Yeah. But they were all priced, like, $25 or more, even for, like, a normal one that you could get for 10 bucks at the other place.
Right. Yeah.
So it was like, there's no
You definitely reason. Have to shop around, too.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And I guarantee you they're going to have those Pops. There. If there's a Wild Bill soda, I definitely recommend that.
Wait, hang on. Like, are they going to have Soprano
Pops? Like the Funko Pops?
No.
The Funko Pops.
But
I don't know if they'll have them.
I guarantee you they do.
If they're going to have, like, Sopranos ones, but that'd be interesting if they did.
I guarantee somebody might get around to getting one of them.
They really do have Pops of everything.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But
yeah, if you're looking for something to drink, if you see Wild Bills there, that is probably your best bet to get something to drink, because it's usually $25 for a metal, like, Wild Bill's mug, and then it's free refills for the day, and every day you come back, bring that mug with you, and I believe it's $5 for unlimited refills again.
Yep. It's ridiculous, though, because it's so much sugar all day.
God,
it's the last thing you want to be drinking
all
day.
Yeah, but compare that to, like...
I don't think I want to, like, give myself, like, a coma.
But but you compare that to, like, the price of, like, normal food at a con, it's the cheapest
food is wicked expensive. Eat right before, don't eat there. And
there's a cannoli eating contest, so, like...
Ooh, is there really? Oh... Actually, we got to look this up.
I know.
We should look this up later.
I've only seen one episode of The Sopranos, and it was the last one. So.
I saw the first one, and
anybody, like, involved with life, like, if you go to the website sold me, because it looks, like, incredible, and, like, it looks like it's sponsored by, like, a credit card loan processing company. Like, it's exactly like what you think it would be.
Oh god!
It's like literally thrown together.
I think everyone's looking it up now.
Yeah. Anyway, if we had more of a Sopranos following, and I'll be happy to report back next week.
Can we get live reports or?
maybe I'll do some vlogs. I'll throw it up on the Twitter feed.
Are you going down there just for this?
I mean, I'm going for the weekend. I'm going to meet up with a couple of friends, too. I'm not going alone. I'm going with one of my buddies who lives in New York, but...
He knows a guy. You know, don't worry.
Forget about it.
Yeah, right?
They had, like, all-inclusive bus trips from, like, Providence to Boston, too, to go down.
Wow. I mean, it's a big show.
It's pretty on point. I didn't get the $1,000 like bada bing package, but
I don't know these people in the show, but looks like there's a lot of people going to this.
Okay. If I gave you like $100 to like make your own Sopranos lineup, like all these people are worth like $15 or less, if that makes sense. Like, all the heavy hitters are either, like, not there or like dead. So
yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, it's a crime show, so there's a lot of people that like show up for one episode and like get killed. So it's a deep bench. It's just like, you know, it's all like utility guys.
There is a cannoli eating contest.
It is always weird to me how like TV shows get like such a strong following that they get a convention.
Yeah,
because like Supernatural,
this is the first one.
So. Yeah, Supernatural has like conventions going on, like throughout the U.S., which is insane to think about. Because like, you know, I've watched the show. It's a good show, but I would never go to a convention.
Are you sure you're not going? You're not a VIP going to Scores at midnight on Saturday night?
Yes, there's not one but two after parties at strip clubs. One of them is that at the Satin Dolls in the show, which is actually like an interesting thing to do. But then like they also have another one that starts at like 1 a.m. at Scores in like Manhattan.
This is just like, this is literally the Guido convention.
And like half the people who are like at the family room table in Green Book are pretty much going to be there.
Oh my goodness!
Because the guy on the show, Tony Lip, was in The Sopranos, not as Tony Lip, but he was like, so like his sons and shit, like Nick Vallelonga or whatever, is going to be there, and it's like, what is this? it's part like I love the show. But really just like a just morbid curiosity of what the fuck is this?
John, so, if you have fun, think about Comic-Con for next year.
Yeah, but like... it's... Okay, I will consider it.
Yeah, like, I mean, you have to you have to dip your toe in the water, feel the water, see if like a con is okay for you. Because like, they can be fun. They can be a lot of fun.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to it. It's... Yeah. It should be a fun weekend.
I hope so. All right. just the capo is sold out.
Yeah, I know. All the special ones are sold out. I like literally all the VIP except for like the crazy like $500,000 ones. Like they're all sold out.
The boss that's sold out.
Yeah, it's an incredible website. All right. Anyway.
The bada bing.
So. You want to talk Mandalorian?
Sure.
So what I thought was interesting is I think everybody sort of, because I mean there weren't advanced, like, you know, critics didn't have this early or whatever, so everybody kind of went in very fresh to the show. And after the first episode it wasn't clear, but I think after the second one it is. This isn't like Star Wars trying to be like the prestige drama we're fucking used to like everything being these days. It's really more of like a throwback, like Western serial, like 30-minute plus, you know,
or under,
like Adventure of the Week kind of thing.
This is 32 minutes.
Yeah, it's basically like right around 30 minutes, which is awesome.
Yeah, but I feel like it's because it's a Western. It's like sitting down to a big meal. You know, I want to eat as fast as possible because it's so good. But I know that you're supposed to take smaller bites and enjoy it. It's definitely that case where I know that if I got everything at once, I wouldn't like it as much as I do now. Whereas now I take a little bit, digest it, love it, and then keep going. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, if they drop 10 episodes of this at a half hour each, this is gone in like a weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this feels like an easily bingeable show.
Oh yeah.
Well, I hope they lengthen the episodes a little bit when they get off world, because they're all off world at this point.
So this is Tatooine, right?
No, it is not.
No.
Then why are there Jawas there?
Okay.
Just let them go.
So
once you put a quarter in, you just gotta let it go.
Yeah, you gotta let this go. You just gotta let it go. Okay.
Damn it, Sam.
So big difference between these Tatooine, the Tatooine Jawas and these Jawas. So, oh no,
I know the answer. I won't say it. I'll let you.
The answer's in the eyes, Sam. The Jawas on Tatooine.
Maybe it's in his kiss. That's where it is. Oh yeah.
So the Jawas on Tatooine, their eyes glow red. these Jawas, the eyes glow yellow, and I shit you not, that's the difference. No,
it's vice versa. Tatooine is yellow. Yeah.
So, like, that literally, the answer is in the eyes, which is, like, so stupid, but part of me is like, yes,
but they didn't need to explain it.
No,
they didn't need to explain it.
No.
I do like that with the staying on the Jawas section of the episode. I did like how he's like running after the fortress and trying to climb up there, and he's like getting fought and everything, and he's making these like heroic climb to the top, and all of a sudden you know there's like seven of them who shoot at him, and it's just be like, that's great.
Yeah.
I you know, I'm glad he didn't go up there and kill everything and then take his stuff back. I'm glad that he got his ass kicked.
The thing I've noticed about the Mandalorian, the character, is he is a badass, but he's not like the greatest like specimen. Like, yeah, he is very flawed. Like when he fights the beast in this episode, he gets his ass handed to him. If it wasn't for Baby Yoda, he would have died.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
So, which I love that they've confirmed, yes, you are allowed to call it Baby Yoda. Like, everybody's, yeah, that's fine.
I was going to do it regardless of whether or not everyone has been,
but, like, Star Wars was like, yes, please, just call it Baby Yoda. Like, that.
Well, I don't think we'll ever get the name.
I'm glad I have their permission.
Yeah.
I think overall, love to see the Sandcrawler action, though. Mm-hmm. That was cool.
The fortress thing you were talking about.
Yeah. Sorry.
I do love, after this episode came out, there's a meme where it's like Baby Yoda, and he's like, take the shot. And then afterwards, it's like close up on him, and he's like, death. It's so true, because like, he was sitting there like, do it. You won't. And then he starts disintegrating all the Jawas, and he's like, yeah, that's right. He was all like happy watching them all die.
Oh, man. Do we want Baby Yoda to be a constant throughout the series?
Yes.
I feel like he will be.
Yeah. Okay. Am I allowed to go down a rabbit hole?
Did you read this on the internet?
Where do you think rabbit holes come from?
Well, your own mind. Come up with your own theories.
I do come up with theories, but this one came up to me, and it was very intriguing. Is this like a
spoiler?
No.
Okay.
It's kind of like a maybe. So in the first episode where he gets the bounty, basically.
Beskar? The chit, I think they call it.
Well, no, the puck. There is no puck for this bounty. They don't have the puck. They have very limited information, and all they can tell him is last known location and age of the bounty.
Yeah, and they give him the tracker.
And the tracker, yes. That scientist who runs in and he's like, "Whoa, don't shoot!" A lot of people noticed.
Oh yeah, the patch.
The patch on his arm is a Kamino patch.
So is a clone.
One of the theories kind of floating around there is that maybe this is a Yoda clone. Maybe they want to clone this to use with the Empire. Or what's the First Order?
I thought the same thing. Maybe they could take his DNA. Maybe that species is specifically catered for Force. There's Force.
There's three of that species in canon, Star Wars canon.
Yeah,
there's
like Yoda
Yaddle from Episode 1, and the other one, I always forget his name, but he's from Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah, okay.
So that species is incredibly strong with the Force.
Yeah, okay. So they could be using it to clone that species as well.
Exactly. So the other thing is that they were not the originators of this bounty, because why did IG-11 show up to kill? Which means IG-11 probably had the puck for the bounty, and that would explain why they don't have anything for this bounty. They only have a few things that they were able to collect over time.
Well, we had some bounty hunters show up again. And, this episode.
The Trandoshans.
Yeah,
it's definitely, there's something going on with Baby Yoda. Exactly. I don't know. I'd be okay if we left Baby Yoda now. I'm really all about this world right now.
Oh, I am
I just
too.
Want to see more of this world.
The other thing that people are trying, like, I guess, that people are pointing at Star Wars' Twitter account is that there's might be a chance this character comes up again in Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, there's rumors about that.
So that's, we will see.
What? How do we feel about that?
I don't know right now. I'm happy with the Mandalorian being one thing and Rise of Skywalker being something completely different. And
I think it should stay separate. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I think it should stay separate because they need to fix the last movie.
Yeah, they do.
And by introducing this thing that we clearly like,
yeah,
you know, it's just going to take away from what they're trying to do. Well, and right now they need to have stuff going for them, not taking stuff taken away from them.
Well, speaking of the movie, I did read that Jon Favreau is going to have a bigger role in Star Wars to come.
Good. And I know they're working on season 2.
After this? Absolutely. Yeah. So far. Go for it. Let him go.
Favreau did an amazing job starting off.
Somebody who's got, you know, sort of a, let's call it an invisible hand kind of steering things, because I think there's just really no sort of vision from what we've seen so far.
Kathleen Kennedy has no idea. It's been mixed success.
Like, Rogue One was good, but I think as the whole, like, I don't think they get what Star Wars is in the same way they get what Marvel movies are.
Didn't they say Feige was also having a part in Star Wars?
Yes.
It was one specific movie he's going to be a producer on.
Right. I almost want to kind of keep them separate. Let Feige do the Marvel stuff.
Well, he's still doing the Marvel stuff.
Why not let him do Star Wars? Why not let him come home?
Because, I mean, if Favreau is this much... Clearly, Favreau's a huge nerd.
Well, yeah, but
clearly
Favreau
he is.
Started Marvel. If it wasn't for Favreau and Iron Man, Marvel wouldn't exist.
I know.
So, like,
but he started it, and now Feige has taken over rather quickly after it was started.
Can you say that Feige did a bad job or a good job?
No. I think he did a good job.
Exactly. So, like, let Favreau
do this and see where
Favreau
it goes.
Set everything in motion. But John said, it's only one movie that Feige's producing. The biggest problem is that Kathleen Kennedy has no idea what she's doing.
No, I've been saying that for years.
We all have. And even, like, I guess recently George Lucas has come out and been like, I don't like what they're doing with Star Wars.
He hasn't liked it since they bought his product.
Well,
so.
Kathleen, hold on. Kathleen Kennedy claimed that it's because he's having a hard time letting go, which, I mean... Say what you will about George Lucas and how he has to, like, constantly touch his projects over and over again and, like, make it look, as he puts it, better and better and better, which in our case, it's worse and worse and worse. Say what you will about that, but, like, what they've done with Star Wars compared to what it was, like, they have no, like we just said, they have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
They don't.
I mean, they made Rogue One. They made Solo.
Yeah, Rogue One. But then again, like, Rogue One had three directors, or was it two?
It was like two.
Solo had
two. Or three.
Well, technically three.
Rogue One technically had two.
Yeah.
I mean, it originally had Trank, but that project barely started.
That wasn't.
That was Rogue One. Other bounty hunter movie.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Yeah. So I mean, they do roll through directors. The Star Wars movies do roll through their directors. Yeah.
They don't trust their directors with what they do, and I mean, other than J.J. Abrams, but then, like, the thing with that is, like, I'm like, no, you gotta let the directors do what they want to, and then The Last Jedi happened, and I'm like, no, give it back to J.J. Like, I don't want this one.
It's just my whole feeling about, like, Kathleen Kennedy is that, like, she didn't come on with Force Awakens.
Yeah.
She has produced other Star Wars movies. She produced the prequels and like she also produced Oh no, she did. She's produced
She's been around from the beginning.
Yeah.
But not the very beginning. I don't think to the extent that she is at now.
Might be Jedi was her first movie. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it was Jedi, but it was not to the extent that she has her hands in there now. Not saying that she really has her hands in anything. Yeah, I think when you hire the guys who did Deadpool to do Solo?
No.
Who was the guys who hired
the Lego movie?
Yeah, the Lego movie. Yeah. And all their resume is comedy.
Yeah.
You can't fire him for being too funny. You can't. And apparently that's what happened. You hire these people, know what their resume is, know what they want to do, and then you get rid of them? I mean, come on. Because of the reason why you hired them in the first place, probably. I don't get it. That just baffles me, and that's why I think that started it for me. That was the push down the mountain for me. Like, she needs to go. But she never will. She'll never go. What are you looking up?
Well, I'm looking up what movie she started with for Star Wars.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Return.
Actually, it's
yeah,
not.
I mean, the first Lucas film was Crystal Skull, but first Star Wars was Force Awakens. Yeah. She did do like all the Jurassic. I mean, she did a lot of the Spielberg stuff.
Yeah, like Land Before Time.
Yeah, but how much involvement do you think she was involved with Spielberg?
Early movies? On, not much.
The same as Steven Spielberg.
Yeah. Steven Spielberg is 100%
right
on top of his movies.
Well, can we get back to Favreau for a second? Because yes, I think what I've just been really enjoying about him, that, and this is something that's, I would say, in general, sort of new to the Star Wars. Like you know, even the original movies don't really lean on this. It's just kind of weird. Like, you know, the whole thing with the egg, and then, like, they end up eating it or whatever at the end, just because, like, that's what Jawas kind of want to do.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, it's little things like that that I think accumulate into a much greater product, ultimately.
Yeah, because it's like, I mean, they're Jawas. What do they really care about an egg? It's like, they just want to eat it. Like, it's just kind of like one of those, like, little things where it's like, yeah, sure, why not? Like,
it's the equivalent of Woody Harrelson finding a Twinkie in Zombieland.
But
it looks like a good egg, though.
Yeah, it looked like a Cadbury egg.
That kind of takes me to my theory with what's wrong with Star Wars right now, which is they're trying too hard to please the fans.
Mm.
They're not letting these things be their own thing. They're really trying to be like, we know you guys like this, so here's some more. Instead of just being like, let's just tell something different, and if the fans get upset, who cares?
See, are you talking about the movies or this?
The movies.
Okay, because this is definitely different.
Yeah, this, it feels like...
Well, I would say Last Jedi would sort of follow what you just said, and yet I don't think it was very successful as an installment in the Star Wars series, so...
But I know
what you mean, though. Like, there's a certain aspect to where it's like, we just want to be spoon-fed, you know, more of A New Hope, which is why we got The Force Awakens, you know?
No, I actually think Last Jedi was full of, like, things that where they were just bringing stuff back. Where you had, Yoda.
Not building a new story.
Yeah, like, they brought back Yoda. We focused on Luke a lot.
But Sam,
was pretty
the planet
much
was covered in too. Salt, not snow.
Yeah, but no, it's you're right, though. And it's going to be the same thing, though, Sam, in this next movie. Because the Death Star comes back, and the Emperor, and...
Yeah, I mean...
They didn't market this... The problem is they didn't market this trilogy when it first came out as the conclusion of the Skywalker trilogy.
Well...
Or the series, or the...
These three movies are supposed to be the conclusion of the Skywalker.
Yeah, but it wasn't like truly marketed as that.
No, it was just continuation. It wasn't until the second movie dropped that they were like, it's going to finish everything.
Yeah, and I think that's where fans, diehards, that's where they got lost. If they marketed it to the diehards as, this is a conclusion to the Skywalker series saga, it would have probably eased on them a little bit more.
Yeah, but
here's your first movie, we're going to kill off the main character that you fell in love
with.
My argument
against that, though, is wasn't the original trilogy the end of the Skywalker saga?
Agreed. I didn't even know the prequels were part of the Skywalker saga.
It very much was.
Yeah,
we already had a very, very fulfilling ending.
Yeah,
so.
The Emperor dies. They, overthrow Coruscant. Vader dies. The Empire basically is in shambles. So
what everybody's telling me is they should have stopped after 6, not done anything else whatsoever.
Well, they should have just done their own thing.
Yeah.
Which is what everybody thought they were doing, and that kind of, it felt like it was going to be, they're doing their own thing, but like, you're going to see the old characters come back. And then, it's kind of like one of those, once they were like, this bad guy, it's you know, Han Solo and Leia's son. So now everything's going to tie together, and then Leia's force sensitive, and we're going to focus on Leia a lot, and we're also going to focus on...
Well, I mean, we knew Leia was force sensitive.
Well, yeah, but like they really like drove it home with her being Mary Poppins.
Because no other yeah, Jedi can do
like,
that.
We're sensitive, and there's like, I can survive in space because of the Force.
Right.
No. Not even in the Clone Wars like can you survive in space. Jump,
you know?
Yeah, like Plo Koon couldn't survive in space.
His body is built for, like, his species can survive in space. That's what it is.
Well, I mean, like, you... The Star Wars people at this point have to realize you can't please the Star Wars fans because they're a bunch of assholes.
And that's why Mandalorian sucks. Oh, wait, what?
No. Mandalorian is trying to be something different.
Yeah.
And you know what? Everybody's happy with it.
Yeah. But it's got, like I said... Like,
you can't please the Star Wars fans.
Yeah, if they tried to do something different in the new trilogy, then we would have loved it even more.
Hey, but, next time we have a guest on... Could we do, like, a game that's like, is this Plo Koon or Kit Fisto?
Like, truly test their Star Wars knowledge?
Yeah, like, are we talking about Plo Koon or Kit Fisto?
All right. I
don't know if we could find that like, much.
Fisto could just as easily be a porn star.
Really? Really could. With all those tentacles and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Well, tentacles. Lack of a better term. All right, let's move on.
Okay.
Let's move on. Yeah. Ford versus Ferrari.
There you go, all
Ford
you guys.
Ford versus Ferrari.
Let's talk about some pod racing. I mean real racing.
So, ladies and gentlemen, our long national tragedy is over. Matt Damon made a good movie again.
The Martian.
Yeah, since The Martian, he has not made a good movie.
Yeah, there was downsizing. There was like downsizing The Great Wall.
Hey, wasn't downsizing nominated for something?
No,
Suburbicon.
Yeah, Suburbicon. Not good.
Yeah. It's been a few years. You know, he's bought some zoos in the time in between. This movie, I thought, first off, there's never been more of a dad movie in recent history.
Oh, God, no.
Other than, like, Bridge of Spies.
No.
No, this is more of a dad movie
than
Bridge of Spies.
This is more of a dad movie than Bridge of Spies.
Oh, my God. Because that's a Spielberg, Tom Hanks movie.
Like, I love that movie.
This is peak dad movie.
Oh, yeah. I took my dad to this movie. Yeah, this is peak dad movie.
Because I think what would even throw it over the top is... There's some father-son stuff in there, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, Ford versus Ferrari, a 2.5-hour-long movie, though it doesn't really feel that super long. I mean, there's a lot going on, but it's not... It moves. It's very enjoyable. It's starring Christian Bale and Matt Damon as Ken Miles and Carol Shelby, respectively, who are tasked by Henry Ford II, the Deuce, to go out and kick those Italians' asses at Le Mans after John Barenthal as Lee Iacocca. Like, which is like, I just want to die and be like a like ordinary ass, possibly ugly looking dude. It's like, I'm thinking of like the guy who portrays him in like Watchmen. And like for that guy and John Barenthal to be the same dude is just kind of preposterous, even though one's an older, one's a younger version. But anyway, so John Barenthal's like, oh, we need speed, and we need cool cars, let's go buy Ferrari. And then, you know, the Italians just pretty much like, you know, laugh in their face, and you know, Henry Ford gets pissed and wants to go beat him at Le Mans.
Yeah,
that's the gist of the movie.
They use
directed
Ford.
By James Mangold, who we was our top comic book movie of all time in Logan last time we did that exercise.
Yes, Logan. Right? Yes, that was the March Madness.
Right.
We got to do. We skipped last year. We got to do another one.
Walk the Line and 310 to Yuma, which are all very. I mean, other than Logan, pretty much understated, you know, not really. I mean, I think those are all pretty good movies.
They're solid movies. He's like a definite, like, I'll make a solid movie kind of director.
Yeah, very B-plus-y.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely solid B-pluses all across the board.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know if competent would be, like, the greatest thing you could say about somebody. But the man is competent, makes a very watchable movie. And this one is already going to be like the thing that's just going to be on, you know, TNT or whatever or FX for like the foreseeable future, pretty much.
Yeah, that's like the biggest compliment I can give this movie is it's a solid watchable movie.
Mm-hmm. And like I don't mean that in any kind of pejorative. No, it's not groundbreaking. There's nothing you haven't really seen before. Like, this is almost the same, you know, men and machine trying to, you know, do impossible things sort of thing. Just almost like The Martian and almost like, you know, Apollo 13 and other
right
you know,
stuff.
Yeah,
like
I was just going to say, my dad brought up The Right Stuff with me talking about this movie where it basically starts the same way as The Right Stuff, but rather than a demon in the sky, it's like a demon at like...
No, it's like everything goes away when you hit 7,000 yeah. RPMs.
Yeah, it's like it's the same kind of beginning as The Right Stuff, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, a good chunk of it takes place at an airport, so... Pretty much the same thing. But I thought so. Matt Damon, I think, does fine in this, but I think Christian Bale like kind of steals the movie for me. Like, I really liked seeing Christian Bale like not be, for lack of a better word, like a hard ass or like super serious for once, and be like kind of, you know, your average bloke and kind of jokey and shit.
Yeah, he did a really good job. It's just this movie is both good and kind of bland for me. It's
yeah, I don't know if I go so far as to call it bland, but it's not.
But
you know,
it's bland on the good side.
Gonna mistake this for like a great, an all-time great for sure.
Yeah, it's bland on the good side, where it's like you're not gonna walk away insulted by this movie or bored for that matter. But
yeah, like I said, I mean it's 2.5 hours, but it moves along, and I think like the money shots, like the action-y stuff, the racing is really well done.
Mm.
Which, you know, when you have a movie that's, you know, going to be like 40 minutes of racing, like, you know, like you can tell when it's like clearly like the third act or whatever is going to be the race pretty much. And it's like, oh, it's only an hour and a half in of a 2.5 hour movie. We haven't even got to the race yet, so... or you know, we're just now getting to the race, so like clearly that's going to be a big thing. But I really liked it. I would recommend it to pretty much anybody. Almost the exact opposite of The Lighthouse, but I liked this one not just as much, but I still really like this movie as well. Probably, you know, could be a top five, I'd say, but you know, I just think it's very just generally appealing. And it's like, I think the biggest thing for me, you know, I call it a throwback. It's not like a big throwback. I mean, but it's like more, you know, it's like these not huge box, you know, budget movies, but like, you know, high production value movies for like adults that are like, you know, like The Fugitive sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like, a middle
you know, like
road.
Had a bunch of these kind of like in the 90s, like the Jack Ryan movies would be like same sort of deal.
Yeah,
they don't have to have Harrison Ford. But.
Funny enough, those were like solid dad movies too. I mean,
oh yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah, my dad loves watching those.
Yeah, I'm a little in the same boat. I'm just like, yeah. I mean, it's the problem is like, I didn't walk away upset or like any way feeling bad about this movie, but I also just didn't walk away feeling good about anything.
Yeah, like,
it's kind of forgettable, but at the same time, it's like it's forgettable because it's low cat.
That sounds like it's the 2.5 hour time that's getting to you.
Not so much, actually.
No.
Yeah, I mean, look, it maybe could be a little bit shorter, but I don't think like it does. Like I said, it doesn't feel like a super long movie or anything like that. I think definitely like if this movie was made like you know 15, 20 years ago or whatever, it wouldn't stand out from the pack as much because, like I said, these you know more movies like this are being made. So I just, maybe part of me elevates this just because, like, we don't really see a lot of movies like this anymore.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite parts of this movie was whenever they were working on the car. I really enjoyed it when they were, like, trying to figure out how to make this car faster and stuff.
Yeah. No, I always like tinkering and, like, get kind of like the movies that make you feel like you're in the weeds when in reality, like, you have, like, just a very basic knowledge of, like, what the hell's going on. But, like, yeah, when they're doing, like, the experiment of, like, oh, well, let's see how aerodynamic it is. So they put a bunch of, like, duct tape on the car to, you know, see how the wind moves over it.
Mm. Or, like, the whole, like, brakes catching fire and stuff like that.
Yeah. I thought if there was any, and, you know, it has its, like, funny moments, too. Like, there's a part where, I forget if this was even on the pod or not at this point, but we were talking earlier how, at one point, Matt Damon's character, like, just, you know, when they're at Le Mans, they're right next to the Ferrari pit, and he just takes, like, a single screw and just throws it over after a Ferrari car pits.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, the guys at the Ferrari pit see it, and they think, you know, obviously, this must have come off the car. Like, the car is missing a bolt. Like, this is going to be a disaster. And they all just start yelling at each other in Italian, and it's just priceless.
Yeah, you mentioned before podcast that, like, just Italians yelling at each other. There's just something special about that.
Yeah.
John's going to witness that a lot this weekend.
Yep. Yeah, hopefully. Fingers crossed, man.
Hey, do you guys want to give it a review? Number?
Number? I give it an 8.5.
Ooh.
I'm going to go, I'll go 8.9.
Okay.
Cool. All right. Cool. Shall we finish off this week with Watchmen?
The Watchmen.
A little bit of Watchmen?
Yeah.
So,
stuff happened.
It's all about glass.
Yeah,
mostly. Glass. Mostly, primarily.
Mirror guy.
We kind of found out what happened in New York.
Yeah, this is good. This is a good episode for people who have no idea what Watchmen is.
Yeah. So,
like,
Amy started watching this episode.
Oh, no.
She didn't watch the previous three. I was like, I have to watch the show. And she's like, okay. I was like, you sure you want to watch it? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, all right. And then we started watching it, and, like, 15 minutes in, she's like, oh, I have to do something. I was like, oh, okay, go do it. She goes, you're going to pause it, right?
I was like, no.
No, you haven't watched it. She's like, no, this is good. I want to watch it. It's like, oh, God.
No,
damn it.
Okay. Pause. So I think there's about half this episode where she actually could have watched it and started over again and not missed anything.
Yeah.
But then there's that other half where it's like, oh, she's not going to know what's going on with those dudes.
Yeah, I had to
like
explain
the senator
it.
And the other
which the Rorschach senator mask guys. The senator twist is like, I saw that coming from space. Like,
I didn't see that. Yeah. I didn't see that.
I don't know. He had like this like just this attitude of like, I'm going to end up evil in the end.
Mm.
What is he evil?
Well, that it's Watchmen. Well, so nobody's ever really evil.
Yeah. I didn't see the Judd became the leader of the cops. I became the leader of the Rorschach
seventh
Cav or whatever it was, just to keep the peace. You know, yeah. It's like a double edged sword. No matter what you do, you're gonna lose. But you know, I didn't see that coming. I thought that was a good little twist right there for that.
I liked it because, like I said, it kind of like comes out where it's like when it's first revealed, you're like, he's evil, and then he explains it, and I'm like, maybe not.
Yeah.
And like,
but, yeah, I mean, if there's one staying thing with just Watchmen, you know, the comic book, and then, you know, definitely this series is that the world is just incredibly complicated.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, for them to pretty much position the, like, white supremacist, like, racist, you know, KKK stand-in, to then actually being, like, right about, you know, this, like, world-changing, like, false flag event, essentially.
Which Sam called it.
Yeah, yeah.
Sam called it over here about the government controlling the small bursts of the squid falling from the sky.
Well, no, the guy admitted.
No. Sam called it.
I think it was Ozymandias, but they're aware of it.
But
you're right.
Well, they're aware of it.
Ozymandias
is causing it. But.
Yeah, well, he explains it to President Redford.
Yeah.
At his with like that video.
The entire book is just about him getting Robert Redford into power, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's a piece of it.
But once he mentioned that, I was like, huh, Sam called it.
But, I mean, it made sense because it's like,
yeah,
the government wasn't behind this. This was Ozymandias all on his own.
Yeah.
But like, you knew he, I don't know if it's actually in the book, but you kind of knew like the government was going to know what happened.
Yeah.
But they weren't going to do anything about it because it's the same reason why the Watchmen don't do anything about it, because it's like, if we actually say what happens, the world goes back to being on the brink of destruction.
Well, right? In the movie, Rorschach is the one who wanted to reveal the truth, right?
Yeah, and well, that's the same thing as a comic book, yeah. But that's supposed to show...
I hate to say it, but unfortunately, that's looking like where it's going to end up going. It's the Rorschach, the Seventh Cav, wants to tell people, which this is what truly happened.
I don't entirely know.
I don't know, because why would you kill a cop doing that?
The way like the senator talks like that, it almost feels like he's kind of in on this as well. Mm-hmm. And that this is just some plan everybody has, and I don't know what the end game here is.
Yeah. Because they're definitely using those portals. He's going to use it on, was it Tulsa?
Yeah.
But he's like, you're going to unleash one of those giant squids here. He's like, no, we're not.
We're going to do something else.
Yeah. And so it's like, what are you going to do? you going to let us know? No? Damn.
Hey, that's an awfully nice portal you're messing with me. Yeah. What's going on with that?
And I like how they explained why Looking Glass has the mask that he does. It's because of the sonic waves, like he's trying
psychic
to, or psychic, psychic waves. He's trying to prevent those again. And he has it under his hat, like he sleeps with the mask
on.
Yeah,
I mean, like I like how it's like, they are like, he's kind of a paranoid lunatic, but this whole episode was like, yeah, he's a paranoid lunatic for a reason.
Yeah, like gave him a reason why he is the way he is. And
and then they just threw him a curveball.
Yeah. And be like, yeah, you know, your whole life is a lie, by the way. Like,
yeah.
There's nothing to worry about.
I'm not enjoying the fact that we might not see him again.
No, we will.
Are we sure? I would hope. But the end of the episode makes it look like, all right, well, something's going
to
go down.
Like so. The 7th Cavalry are about to knock him off, maybe because he's not useful anymore or something like that.
But I feel like he's a big enough badass.
But we don't see him die, and that's always a cue for me when you don't see someone die. It just kind of implies that person is dead.
That said, though, I mean, like when you watch Watchmen, the movie itself, your favorite kind of character was Rorschach, right? Yeah. He's gone in the end.
Well, that was the PO. Yeah, that was, for lack of a better protagonist, he's like the protagonist. Like, he's the POV sort of person.
I don't know if I like Rorschach.
Well, you read the book, that's why. You have a different view of Rorschach.
Like, Rorschach's kind of a like sociopathic loner who doesn't shower and everyone hates him because he's just an easily hateable person.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's our hateable person.
I like Looking Glass. I love his character. And I forget his name, but he portrays him just... The way he's portraying him is so great.
Yeah, I was really worried we're just going to get another Rorschach with him.
Yeah.
Because, like, his mask is similar. Even his, like, almost attitude is similar.
It felt like it was going to be.
The attitude is similar, except Rorschach is a little bit more on the crazy side. He's more on the, like, the level-headed.
Yeah, he's definitely, like, Rorschach is, like, a solid nihilist. Like, he doesn't give a shit about anyone or anything, except for... kind of himself, although he kind of hates himself, but anyways. But like Looking Glass definitely has a belief. He definitely has like some kind of center to his world. He's also not a loner because he's, you know, been married before, and clearly it's like his wife left him not because she didn't love him, but because she just couldn't deal with his paranoia.
Yeah. And it's like, it sucks too, because it's like, he's not just paranoid about the squid falling again. He's also scared about intimacy because of what happened to him, like right before it happened. It's like,
yeah. Well, if you notice, I mean, he's in like a horror hall of mirrors, and he doesn't have a single mirror like in his house or in his bomb shelter.
Right. Like he stays away from mirrors, and but except for the stuff he wears around his head. But yeah, no, like
yeah, instead of yeah. looking
but
out,
that's, but in, he can't out. See it. He's you know he's using yeah. that to see others or whatever. Yeah,
instead of the mirrors looking in at him, he's looking out.
Because he's mirror guy.
Yeah, he's mirror guy.
Mirror guy.
You can so have what, it.
let me ask you guys this: do you have any ideas of what kind of Steven Spielberg movies exist in the Watchmen world?
Yeah, so that was a big thing. So
we got quasi Schindler's.
Yeah, well, no, Schindler's List. It was Schindler's List, but it was called Pale Horse, because they were the band playing in at Madison Square Garden that night. And it's basically she describes a scene from Schindler's List.
Yeah,
right.
But it's from the movie. Scene. Yeah, it's so like. That's pretty cool. I did like that. Like it was a very interesting scene, and like it was pretty cool.
I just like the idea that Spielberg had this idea of just having a girl in a red dress in a black and white movie, and he was just waiting for a movie to do it in. He just had that loaded. He was just like, I'm going to find a movie to do this in.
That is sort of what happens, though. Like, I mean, to be fair, like, I mean, people. Yeah. People have ideas for movies or like shows, and they're just little things that you know they work in, and sometimes they can be, you know, ultimately the most memorable part of it. I just thought that was a really cool detail. Speaking about the Sopranos con, fucking loved the "I Love New York" or "Come Back to New York."
Yes,
you know, in the beginning with starring Christopher himself, Michael Imperioli at the end. Like that was.
Yeah, that's a great touch because it's another thing where it's like you don't think about it, but like yeah, right. People would be afraid to go back to New York after that.
Yeah,
because it's like there was a giant squid that killed 3 million people there, so right. Half the city.
Not to mention, you know, you just take 3 million off the top, like it's going to be a whole different vibe to begin with.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, but
it's like the it's like the Avengers, right? Or it's like Endgame. You know, it's like half the city's just abandoned.
Yeah, and like they even mention it in the ad where they're like, we would walk on Central Park and didn't see anyone. It was great.
Yeah. There's like no crime. Like.
Well, the population visits New York. Like all those people don't live in Manhattan. It's it's people, the commuters come in every day.
Yeah.
That really bumps up the population, so.
But like, would you commute into a place that?
Oh hell no!
Literally, exactly. No. So like, I guarantee you, like businesses are down. Like, I think
it fell down. Where did it fall? In Hell's Kitchen?
I don't know.
Somewhere around there. That would have been about 4 or 5 miles away from where I was actually living. So
you would have been affected.
I probably would have been affected.
I think it was in like Midtown somewhere.
Oh, then that's even closer.
Yeah, so
it's like 20 blocks.
Yeah. Like, if New Jersey was affected, New York was affected.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you'd be dead.
Some people were.
Staten Island's okay?
Yeah, I mean, it's Staten Island.
Yeah, Wu-Tang survived.
Oh, man. Yeah, like, imagine the music. Like, it's like the music scene that came out of that.
It's not about drugs anymore.
Man.
It's about squid.
Oh,
man.
Yeah, speaking of which... like cigarettes are now a controlled substance.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I mean I can't rave about this show enough, but I eat up all this little shit like so much. Like and it's like they just talk about it for like 3 seconds and then it's done. But it's such a small detail, but it paints such a bigger picture, you know?
Yeah. It's great. It's like all the and like the other thing. They played Careless Whisper 3 different times.
Yeah, they did.
Which was awesome, because that is an amazing song.
There was like, so they obviously played it.
So
they had an acoustic version at one point.
Yep, and then
like
at the
acoustic
very,
country version,
Well, it was mainly acoustic, yeah. but then towards the end, they played it again, but it was a woman singing it.
It was one of those, you see this in a trailer songs.
Yes,
the like,
slowed down
like,
kind of.
Minor, yeah.
Yeah. Which was awesome. I loved the fact that they did Careless Whisper 3 times. Like that was great.
Can I just I'll say this too, and I know I keep pumping this show, but this episode especially felt like a Leftovers episode like so much. Cuz it's funny cuz he even does that in with like Take on Me, in my aha in one of the episodes, or they have it like three different times. But yeah, if you really like this episode, I couldn't recommend Leftovers enough. But,
all right. And there's a little thing that we are neglecting to talk about, because yes, this was Looking Glass heavy. It was the whole thing with Ozymandias finally escaping.
Yeah, and that he's on like Europa.
Yeah,
or something.
I don't know if it's a moon of Jupiter.
Yeah,
and I love how he gets out of whatever he's in, and it's just like littered with the dead bodies of his like workers that he shot through the.
And you realize why he was doing that.
Exactly.
And which is such an Ozymandias thing to do, because he's like, he's the most intelligent person in the world and also probably the biggest sociopath.
Yes.
Who has like.
Just incredibly ruthless. Yeah. I mean, he did what he did. Like, yeah. You can't really one up that.
And, yeah. I love like the fact that he like. He uses he creates his own scuba suit from like the 1920s.
Yeah, it's very much like, which is funny because it's like Earth from Earth to the Moon, pretty much by Jules Verne.
Yes.
Which is funny because the title of this episode, I guess, comes from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea or something.
Okay.
It's like man wouldn't be afraid of lightning thunder or something like
that. Yeah, but like just the whole thing, I am obsessed with
them.
We actually have a timeline of how long he's been in the bubble too. It's been 4 years.
Yeah. And also the game master, did you catch what he said, whereas like, you know, you've upset, you know, like you're upsetting God or something, and what the hell, what's this,
Adrian
Veidt, that's it, Veidt. I keep calling him Ozymandias. That's just his, you
that's
know,
a superhero care. Name, but who cares?
But Veidt basically says, your God has abandoned you. And he goes, that's right. Our God has abandoned us, but we're still going to, you know, I'm still going to arrest you. Which I instantly was like, this was made by Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's the God here.
Yeah. So, like, oh man. Like,
should be interesting going forward. How many episodes in this season, by the way? 10?
10, I believe.
There's 9 episodes.
Okay.
And so, obviously, the next one is, this is episode 5, episode 6, which I think they gave the first 6 to critics initially, and I think universally it was like, yeah, the 6th episode is like absolutely bonkers. And from the looks of it, from the preview...
I didn't watch the preview.
I have to like really temper my expectations to not go like super like, though this is going to be great.
Yeah,
like,
watch the preview. It's insane.
Okay.
Because she takes the memory pills.
Oh, yeah.
And she's stuck in her grandfather's memories.
I did watch the preview.
And she thinks she's her grandpa and she's living out his life.
Yes.
While simultaneously everyone in the now is trying to get her back.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it looks like a...
It's super
straight
trippy.
Out of Legion.
It's super trippy.
Straight out of Legion. Oh, man. All right, anyway. Anyways, any other last comments before we wrap it up?
No, but Watchmen just keeps getting better and better.
I want Dr. Manhattan to show back up.
He's got to.
He's got to.
I say if we're episode 8 or 9, there's no way we're getting prior to that.
He's probably going
to... I still haven't
seen
the pigs running through the bank yet, so...
Oh, yeah, that was that thing.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Anyway.
I want to know what the 7th Cavalry is about to unleash on Tulsa.
Yeah, we'll find out. Hopefully, or it could be a big.
It'll be in a few episodes. I bet it's episode 9.
It's a big octopus.
See, it's not a squid. This one has 8 arms.
All right.
And 2 eyes.
All right, we're gonna wrap this up then.
It's different.
So if you like all our discussions regarding giant octopus and squid and other various comic book stuff, you can find all our previous episodes on Podbean, iTunes, and Stitcher. If you want, take that chance. Send us a message on Facebook, facebook.com/KnightsOfTheNerdTube. We'll probably respond, whether or not it's in a weird reference or things like that.
We'll respond.
So that does it for us for this week. I believe we're off next week.
All right.
And then we'll come back in 2 weeks. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
All right, bye.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble.
God damn it, John.